Welcome to Inspired After Hours, your unique peek into the untold narratives of business leaders. We don't just talk business, we journey through their world, personal stories, and unique perspectives. Here we delve beyond corporate facades for intimate conversations that reveal the real life experiences of those who inspire us. Get ready to discover wisdom, extract life lessons, and fuel your own journey. Welcome to Inspired After Hours. Today, we have our guest, Jason Lanham.
Cheers. Cheers. Thank you, guys.
And Jason, you're the founder of Astro Creative. We know you as a visionary. We know you as a fun all-around guy, but we want to know a little bit more about you today.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Astro Creative. How did you get into that? How did you get into videography? Go way back.
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks for having me on. This is cool. New setup. Yeah. And Astro kind of started way back, like, because Alex and I started Astro together, and it started back in high school where we had our career center had a video class, and we just fell in love with the process of video and just having fun. We just made a lot of like stupid videos, and we had a really cool teacher that was just like, I want to turn a blind eye to a couple of things you guys are doing, but let you guys have your creative fun. But then, you know, fast forward through time after high school, a lot of freelance work and different TV shows, and Alex did a lot of reality TV. I went more corporate style, working for Motor Trend, Ghost Lifestyle.
How did you get into that? I think people would want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a trade school. It doesn't exist anymore. It was called Specs Howard, and they did a lot of digital media and video and broadcast stuff. And they said they had an awesome like job placement thing, and it was like random job placement. It was not like, it was definitely not like for me to like go shoot video. It was like, oh, there's a spot open at Motor Trend to like literally be like the office slave. And so that's what I did. And then I ended up kind of working.
Hey, we got you a job.
Yeah.
Being video.
Yeah, but I enjoy it because I always loved cars growing up in Detroit and just like always had a big, you know, passion for cars. So like here I am, a 19-year-old kid, and they're like, cool, well, here's a Lamborghini. And I was like, I'll do it. I'll take it. But then kind of working through that, I got to assist on a lot of the shoots. And so then I was like, hey, I can shoot too. And then they were just starting to toss me a little liberties of shooting some photo video stuff that would get posted on Automobile Magazine and Water Trend's website, which was cool.
Yeah.
It's like a 19, 20-year-old kid. It's like, hey, there's my name on Water Trend's website.
That's amazing.
Now I'm not getting paid like the actual people they bring in to do that stuff.
I can't afford these cars.
But it's cool. And then, yeah, after that, I mean, I moved to Chicago, worked for Ghost Lifestyle, and then I immediately got fired from that job and just didn't work out. And then the filming set up in Michigan shut down at the same time. So Alex and I were like, let's do this business thing. We have no idea, but let's do it because we can point cameras at things pretty well. And that's kind of the backstory of Astro.
Did you, because I know starting a business, you know, the confidence comes from knowing that there's a need for what you do. Like, it's kind of like, hey, people will hire us for this. People actually pay us to do this and we really love to do it. So did you start to see a lot of need in the market for what you do and not a lot of people who know how to do it?
At first, no. Now, definitely in the last few years, definitely. But at first, it was just like, let's just do this thing because it's the one thing that we know that we're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And figure the rest out later, which meant being broke for your first few years, for sure.
I think that's the story of business owners, so yeah, you're not alone.
Working on, you know, side jobs, working valet and extra stuff just to like kind of try to find a job that would make the schedule work, was still trying to build clientele at the same time. And we just found out that obviously we're good at what we do, we're creative, but people are drawn to us and like us.
Mm-hmm.
And we built a lot of organic relationships just because we were cool to be around. Yeah. Shooting with us is fun.
Mm-hmm.
We know the professional line. There's a lot of people that didn't know the professional line, you know, especially shooting. We did a lot of stuff in modeling when we first started too. And like a lot of dudes cross the line with women. And like, we are very like, this is very separate things. And that made trust go up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of started to gain momentum and momentum over time.
That's really cool because that definitely came across to us when we first met the two of you. Just that you're really fun and down to earth, but you're also very professional and you take your job very seriously, which is so weird to say because like you're also really, what do you call it? Like there's a word that you, ridiculous.
A little ridiculous. our astronomics videos are ridiculous on purpose. I have a phrase that involves cursing, so I'll not have that. But
you can beep it, right, Alex?
He has a beep button. But pretty much I have to say, like, I'm not messing around unless I'm messing around. And so I have fun with that.
Where, oh, I love that.
So
when everyone goes on video for the first time, or even if you've done it multiple times and now it's becoming a part of everybody's content plan for their business, it is so awkward. You see yourself on video and you go, why am I doing that? That doesn't look anything like me. I don't ever talk that way. So I think that the whole approachable nature, fun nature that you and Alex bring to it, it helps kind of create a little more, just being more comfortable in front of the camera. That's just huge.
Well, there's got to be like a level of not care. You're always going to over critique yourself.
Yeah.
And so we just have a level of not caring. We're just like, well, I don't really like the way I, if it's something like I said this wrong, then fix that. But I don't really like the way I look here or this other thing. It's like, is anyone going to notice that? Probably not. Mm-hmm. So should I care? Probably not. Unless it's like something serious, like I have like a beam stuck in between my teeth.
Yeah. Then I think with social media now, what you find is that people who look too perfect, or the videos looks overproduced, or, you know, it just, it doesn't feel real. Those aren't the people that we tend to follow and watch a ton of their videos. It's the ones that are very down to earth, and you can tell that they're a real mom or a real businesswoman. I mean, for us, like, we follow a lot of women that inspire us, and it's never the ones that are perfectly put together.
Yeah.
There's one or two because we like their outfits, but
there's the
fashion is big.
The vulnerability is completely like the most sellable thing, you know, because it's like, hey, someone's, you know, there's a reason why like TikTok makeup tutorials are popping, because like girls would never go on camera without makeup years ago. And now it's like,
yeah,
I'm a dude and I get targeted with that stuff just because they're hitting everybody with it. I'm like, I don't care. This is why am I getting this on anything? Like, I don't care about Sephora. Like, it's not my market, but at least I know what's going on out there.
There's a lot out there. Yeah. So it's ending up in your feed somehow.
Somehow.
So I want to go back to Astro Creative. You guys are really, really good at storytelling. And a story, I think, is what it captures people. It makes them hold on and kind of jump on for the ride and take it all the way to the end. So a video that's a little bit longer, you definitely want to be telling a story, but it takes some talent and some skill to understand how to keep people engaged throughout that story, because there can be a good story, but you can still lose people. So what is your secret sauce?
I think there's like a couple of different ways to tell a story. There's like the more like longer, drawn out, cinematic, let me get you in the feeling, like, you know, brand stories or, you know, documentary type stuff. And like, we definitely can do that too, but that's not even where we've kind of had our strong suit. It's like, how can we tell a story that consistently draws attention and keeps attention by providing value throughout the story? And that can be a 5-minute video or a 30-second video. And also, it's like building the stories over time. Like, we realize that most people are going to scroll past a lot of things. So it's like, how many different ways can we do the same thing so that in 3 months, everyone knows the full story? And so it's a little more drawn out than that too. And it's like, yeah, we could do the longer cinematic, like let's really get nitty gritty with it. But it's also like, how can we just keep the attention to keep the story moving? And maybe it depends on the piece, really. And we just understand marketing and brand better than I'd say a lot of people in the video industry, just because we've been very blessed to be in a lot of opportunities that were forced us to
from
be
the get-go.
That. Yeah. I mean, when I worked with Ghost Lifestyle, it was like all like, I was on the marketing side, but like I worked right with the CMO and he was brand. So like, it was just like, that's all he hammered. So it's like, we had to learn all the aspects of how to get that across. And then with some of the larger full service agencies we partnered with, everything has to go with a story, with a plan, with, you know, with purpose. And so it's like, okay, we need to be able to have it marketable constantly while developing a story to then pull on the heartstrings of people and get people to make decisions.
Mm. That's fascinating. I have so many questions about brand, but I want to stick to you.
Yeah.
So speaking of story, one of the things that I've noticed in your social media feed is a little bit of your story and some trauma, so to speak, that you've been through. Because I think about when I see stuff like that, I go, everybody's been through something, man. Like, everybody's been through something hard that was a turning point in their life. So do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because I feel like it's changed a lot of the way that you do things.
Almost 2 years ago I started now, but I just got massively sick out of nowhere quickly. I had ulcerative colitis. And it was one of those things where like one day I was fine and the next day I was not. And a couple of days later, being a typical guy, like, I'll just push through it. You know, I don't know what's going on, but I'll push through. And they're like, nope, not the move. And ended up in the hospital. And it really, you know, it was just one of those kind of crazy moments where I always was like, had the thing, because I've had a big family growing up and I've seen a lot of death. And that's kind of the thing I'm slightly desensitized to, because I've been to more funerals than most other things in my life. But you still think as a 27-year-old person that like, I got time. And going through the illness a little bit, one day I was fine, and the next day, like, you know, a little descriptive, but go to the bathroom and it's full of blood.
Yeah.
You're like, that's not supposed to be like that. And then I lose 45 to 50 pounds within a couple of weeks, and so lightheaded and weak that I can barely stand up, and in and out of the hospital for 6 months, and nothing's
Were you
worked.
Diagnosed right away?
Pretty quickly, yeah. And the funny thing is they assigned me a GI doctor that was a total blessing. Like, he was so emotionally invested into me. Like, he would come up at odd hours of the night if he knew something was coming, happening to me, or call me on his personal cell phone. And so I was super, super fortunate and blessed in that. But it was
it's good to hear as many stories as we can about doctors who really do care.
I definitely had a couple that if I was strong enough, they would have been knocked out. But we had I was very blessed with the core people that were put around me. But it kind of forced me into a position of, I've done a lot of personal development. I understood that I needed to stay stoic and strong and focus on outcomes and what I can do to get better. And I mean, you could ask Alex, or there's other people that were around me in the time. I had made it appear less serious. When people texted me because they knew I was in and out of the hospital, whatever. And I'm like, hey, I'm good for the circumstances. Circumstances aren't good, but I'm hanging in there. I'm good. And then they would see me and be like, dude, what? And I'm just like, you know, like Alex saw me in the hospital one time. I had tubes coming out of my face and all different things. And I'm like strapped to a bed, not literally strapped, but I can't move because I have so many things coming in and out of my body. My lips were as white as the wall behind this. It was, yeah, it was crazy. It got gnarly. But I think it's just forced things where it's like, a firm believer that you get to choose your trauma. And I made it a fair point that it was going to be
trauma, not your drama.
Did I say drama?
No, it sounded
like... Oh, okay. I was about to say, you don't get to choose your drama sometimes. Unfortunately, or else there would be none of this.
So that's very interesting. Choose your trauma. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I feel like trauma is subjective. Like, yeah, for a weird kind of offshore example, like 300 years ago, women were having sex and getting married at 13, or I should say getting married then having sex at 13 years old. Now that's illegal and is highly frowned upon, you know, but then it'd be traumatizing if that were to happen to somebody. But it's like, that's subjective. It's cultural. It's what's, you know, and you can kind of have the deciding factor of that, I think, to a certain level. There are certain things that are just naturally like traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if your family was like killed in a car accident, that I have a level of trauma to it, of course. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was just like, this is the comeback story. And I was telling everybody, I'm like, y'all ain't getting rid of me this easy. Like, I got a lot of impact that I want to make. And I got some more people that I might want to irritate for the next 50 to 60 years. So that's just kind of like a turning point for me in a lot of ways of like, I felt like a lot of ways I was going in the right direction in my life, but definitely a few key ways I was not.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like the kind of a come to Jesus moment of, she's like, okay, well, clearly I'm in this position to learn and get better in all aspects of my life.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
That's just kind of the summary of it all.
Yeah. You had said earlier that you choose your trauma, and I had to stop and think about that for a second, because I know when I went through a trauma, I had a mentor in my life say, you're allowed to be a victim. You are a victim. You can identify that you've been a victim of something, but you don't stay a victim.
Oh.
And so kind of the same message, you know, like,
yeah,
what happened to me wasn't right. And my situation was a little bit different because I was a victim of someone else doing something.
Yeah.
You were a victim of something that you had no control over.
Control.
But But yeah, you don't want to stay a victim. And I did think, okay, what do I need to learn from this? Because really, what else can you do?
It's kind of like, what are you going to do? You know, like, it's just like, I've seen a lot of people just hold themselves down or back for a long time or for the rest of their lives. And that's just not me. That's not how my mom raised me. Yeah, my mom's always kind of like a overcomer. And I used to have that identity a lot. But now it's like, I'm a little more champion mentality now. Because I feel like if you identify as an overcomer, you always have to overcome something. Mm-hmm. And like, that's always means coming from the bottom.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To me, I'm like, I just don't like that positioning for me anymore. Mm-hmm. Where that used to be like my chip on my shoulder. And now I'm like, no, I'm already like at the top. And like, things might try to knock me down. But like, I'll always like, you know, have a way to combat it and counter it.
That's funny because that seriously comes across in you.
Yeah.
The way you act and carry yourself, it comes across like you've already reached the top. You've already achieved.
I'm a little delusional. I understand that. I understand.
We know that.
I'm a little delusional.
I do know that, but I'm just saying it comes across.
Alex definitely knows that.
I'm straight to the point, though. And like, I definitely have some things that I've adapted in my identity that have a lot of strengths for me. They wouldn't be a strength to someone else, maybe, or maybe they couldn't handle that for themselves. But there's things that I've made part of my identity that make me get up every day and want to be the best person I can be for those and those around me. And it's part of the reason why I build the business and I'm doing the things that I'm doing and study and focus and work and everything, you know, focus on health and wealth in many areas. It's just so that like I can be the best I can be for others. And I understand that through the stuff I've been through and my mentality and how I carry myself and what God's blessed me with, is that I can handle more than most, so I'll take more than most.
That's so good. Do you feel like you have a balanced life?
I wrestle back and forth if balance even is a thing. Sometimes like, you need balance, and other times like, what is?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a juggling act of like, okay, these three sections of my life need a lot more here, so this side of my life's not going to get as much right now. I'm very self-aware now. And that's one thing, like before my illness, I wasn't very self-aware. I just bulldozed through anything and not listen to my heart, mind, body.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm very aware.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like, hey, I know the things I need to focus on. And if another part of me or people around me or my spirit is calling me to, hey, you need to focus on this too, or remember this, or have a moment with this, mm-hmm. then I will.
Ooh, I love that. You just inspired me with kind of an analogy for it. Because I think when people think of balance, they think of just a scale, and a scale is static. But life isn't like that. Life is not static. Life is, it's a journey. You're walking through things. There's going to be different terrain. There's going to be water, rushing waves, you know, all the things, wind coming at you. So balance is going to depend on where you're at in your journey. And like you said, sometimes these things need more attention and these don't need as much attention. But you seem like you really love what you do. You have a lot of fun. So why do you even have to worry about, am I balancing it? Because if you're having a good time, so do you ever feel like, okay, I've worked way too much. I got to shut it down and go do something for myself.
Kind of. I'm definitely aware of like, there's the, I made a social media video about a couple months ago that I got a lot of feedback actually, which was
video game one.
No, not that one.
That one was cool.
That one was cool, too. That was my nerd side coming out. But I think it's just one of those things where there's a difference of, like, you're kind of unfocused and a little scattered, and it's like, hey, like, I got to push through. That doesn't matter. I don't really feel like a little scattered, but I still got to push through because things and people are depending on me. And then there's, like, hey, I'm depleted, and I need to, in order to, like, fight another day, I need to take my time.
Yeah.
So this comes down to self-awareness again.
Need to replenish.
Yeah. So that's like, you know, some coconut water and, you know.
Sit by the pool.
Yeah, you know, so.
And much debated coconut water. How did you manage the business? So you were in and out of hospitals for 6 months and you have this business going. Obviously, we know one person who helped manage the business. Yeah. I think you even told us that you were on a Zoom or a conference call, you're standing in your hospital gown. Hey, you're like, okay, guys, I got to wrap this up. I got to go get x-rays. So I know you're trying to do the best you could, but how did all that even work out?
For a few months, I was incapable altogether. Mm-hmm. When your gut is that sick, you have no mental capacity for much. So Alex wore a lot of it. And the unfortunate thing is the sales shut down. So we weren't really, other than like referral based stuff, no one was getting out there to land more business. So revenue took a jump down for sure. So it was one of those things. It was like, by the time I was in a good spot again, it was like, holy shit. Now it's like, we got to get going, you know, or else like we're going to be in a normal job soon.
Yeah.
And like, I don't fit in well. You know, I beat to the sound of my own drum a bit. And it's been like, you know, it's like you've been in business so long doing it your way and then, or like having mentors or people guide you, but you're still kind of doing it your way to jump back into another thing. And
I imagine.
Yeah. It's, yeah. You guys would be like a little lost if you jumped into a normal job too.
Oh my
gosh. You know,
talk about square pegs and round holes.
Yeah.
One of the things I heard as you were telling your story was that both in the very early days of video and meeting Alex and being in high school, and then you go through what you did with your health and you had that doctor, it seems like these people keep showing up in your life. You have these people that show up in your life at these very pivotal moments, like you're being taken care of.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, everyone's got their beliefs, but it's God, you know. I think it's like I've gotten to a pattern in my life where if I'm not listening and responding to the things he wants, things unravel and it's noticeable and I get my ass beat a little bit. But if I'm like very aware and I'm like, okay, you know what? You want me here clearly. So I'm going to go your way. Trust the process. I'll take my little path through it. You know, I got my tattoo. It says Dono Spirito Lavoro, which in Italian means the gift, the spirit, the work. So I'm Italian, if you couldn't tell. But
I had no.
Yeah, God gives the gift. You know, we meet him at the spirit, and then I take the work from there. And so that's become a big thing for me because it's just like, I'll do the work. That doesn't bother me. You know, I'm not someone that's like looking for the easy way. You know, I don't ask God for an easy life. I ask for a life that's worth it.
I wanted to ask you, where did that come from? Because we meet a lot of people who do not have a work ethic. And then we meet a lot of people who have a very strong work ethic. And I always I'm always curious where that comes from. You know, where it came from in me, and we know where it came from with Amber.
Yeah.
Your dad. Yeah.
I think it's just kind of Detroit growing up too. I mean, it's blue collar. Everyone works pretty hard. It's kind of the culture. And also like, I think there's things that like you can work hard or work smart or do both or suck at both of them, which means you don't work well, you know? And I think we're all at our own journey within that. And I think I'm bridging the gap of starting to want to work smarter as working hard, because I know if I can work smarter and hard, I'm hard to stop.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, talent versus effort. It's like, what if talent has effort? Then you're screwed.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the position I've been really developing, I'd say, this year. It's really like, okay, what can I do to be smarter about this to then make my hard work exponentially better and compound?
Yeah.
So I think it just comes from a lot of just culture, upbringing. You know, my mom just always run around cleaning houses, doing odd and end stuff, because my mom things like, you know, after my dad left my mom, it was, she just did little odds and ends stuff. And like, we had a house and, you know, a nice little cute neighborhood and, you know, lower middle class, but we had a lot of low income apartments all around us. And so I got to see that.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's like, that's not where we're going to end up. My mom would do absolutely anything. So I would just see her running around doing whatever she could to work hard to make sure
what it takes.
Yeah. Cause I'm either going to be growing up with all the people selling drugs and doing stuff in the low-income apartment complex down the street, or I can be in the neighborhood where things are a little more normal.
Mm-hmm.
That was like her bottom line. So we play a little Russian roulette of like, what bill are we not going to pay this month? You know, but we'll figure it out. And that's kind of is like, figure it out and we're going to work hard to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that also tells me that fed your way of thinking of not just accepting things because it's the way it's always been. Or, you know, you mentioned the story earlier about how things were one way and now they're not that way. And so it seems like you don't pay attention to any of that stuff.
No, I just like, I'm a problem solver, mm-hmm. naturally.
There's got to be a way.
And there's got to be a way. And I think kind of subconsciously, my mom kind of helped with that a lot. But my mom's thing was always like, what can we do to survive?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that. It's like, what can I do to thrive? And it's like, okay, because my mom doesn't know anything else other than survival. And I've seen it for the last 29 years. So it's like, okay, cool. Well, now I'm her means of survival. So, but that's not even something I cross my mind. It's like, okay, well, she taught me how and gave me a lot of the skill sets and the moral code. Mm-hmm. She always cracked down heavily on the moral code of everything and how I function. It's like, all right, cool. Well, now I'm going to thrive. And then she doesn't need to learn, like, worry about surviving anymore. It's like, she's
You're a good guy.
I think it's just
young ladies out there. He's single, young ladies.
Single for 4 years.
That just means you're selective.
Means I'm picky. Very picky.
Whatever you want to call it.
Whatever. It's definitely who can I bring home to my mom, you know? And that's with my mom's ethic code. Tough. It's a little tough.
All those Scottsdale girls will not make me.
That's why I don't live in Scottsdale.
All right, Jason, this has been fun. Where can people find you, Astro Creative and Jason Lanham?
They can find me here. No, I'm playing.
Right
here. Yeah, right here. Instagram is at _Jason444. I've been trying to get just Jason444, but the person that has it, I spam them like every week, and they just won't give it up. So if y'all can spam Jason444 on Instagram, that would really help because I want that underscore gone. And then company page is just Astro Creative Co. on Instagram. And then the website's astrocreative.co.
Okay, cool. Well, you can find us at Inspire the Vibe on all the socials.
Yes.
And we'd love to work with more people like Jason and Alex. So if you want to work with us or if you need marketing and branding, hit us up. We're your girls.
That's a wrap for today's journey on Inspired After Hours. We hope our conversations have offered you unique insights and ignited your own aspirations. Remember, every story we share is a beacon of wisdom meant to inspire your own path. Stay with us as we continue to delve into the lives of successful leaders. Subscribe to stay tuned and join us next time on Inspired After Hours. Until then, stay inspired.